Siya ba'y kay Shubo Bikal? That is, good afternoon in Bangla. Once again, thank you, Pastor Ray, for allowing me to share the Word of God with you this afternoon. And once again, thank you for your continued prayers and your support to the Lord's work in Bangladesh. As Pastor Ray had announced already this morning, we'll be going back in Bangladesh on the 18th of this month, and we desire to stay there as long as possible as the Lord leads us. And so this time we're going to study the Word of God. Let's all stand up, please. I have been contemplating what message the Lord would want me to share with you this afternoon, and the Lord just led me to the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll be studying just two verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to read this all together, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, verse 1, ready, go. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this opportunity that once again we could be able to feast from your word. I pray that you'd continue to give me the word, the language, that I could share your word to your people. We do not have any desire, purpose, but to worship you and to glorify you even in our midst this afternoon. So work in us in a special way. Bless now the preaching of your word, for this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Please be seated. Last Saturday morning, with the men's fellowship, I gave a devotion entitled The Working Man. And then this morning, I wanted to entitle the message this morning, The Reapers Can Be. Now, from our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, let me share with you a simple message entitled, The Under-Rowers. The Under-Rowers. One of the unforgotten segments of the American history that I read was the time when President Lincoln of America, it was on January 1, 1863, President Lincoln signed the Proclamation of the Liberation of All the American Slaves. And when he did that, one time, the president was interviewed. And he was asked what he can say about what he did, because when he did that, you know, he gained the love and the affection of many American people, especially according to their history, especially on those on the coast of North Carolina. And then when he was interviewed, what he can say about what he did, and he said something that that became part of the American history. He said something that became an encouragement, an illustration to many messages and even preachings. Because the American president said, he said, it is a momentous thing to be the instrument under providence of the liberation of a race. In other words, the president was saying, it is a momentous thing. It is a blessing for me to be God's instrument to give liberation or freedom to a race. Let me just remind you this afternoon, brethren, that it is also a momentous thing. It is also a significant thing for you and I to be God's instrument. We are indeed God's instrument of liberation. You see, God is using us to preach the gospel to those people who are still in bondage to sin and to Satan. You see, we are the ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the workers, we are the slaves, we are the reapers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we are not worthy, but God gave us the opportunity to be part of it. The under-rower. Let me give you three simple thoughts. First of all, we're going to see the examination of our work. The examination of our work. Let's go back to verse number 1. Apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us. I want you to notice the word account. When I was studying this passage of the scripture and I came across the word account, I found out that the word account is a bookkeeping term. It is a bookkeeping term which speaks of taking an inventory or taking an examination. And so when Apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us, he was simply saying, let a man examine my life. Let a man, you see, take an inventory how I progress in the service of the Lord. You see, he opened himself before the church and he said, church, you are open. I am open. I am giving you the opportunity to examine my service to the Lord and tell me if I am progressing. And I believe with all my heart, brethren, that it's good for our hearts and it is good for our Christian lives that from time to time we're going to take such inventory where we are in the service of the Lord, especially in missions. So Apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us. And then when I dig in on the word account, I found out that Apostle Paul used this word account in 3 different situations. The word account. First of all, we're going to see an examination of our salvation. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. We're going to see different angle where Apostle Paul used the word account or the word examine. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves, know ye not that your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? And so you can see here the word examine, the same word as the word account. And Apostle Paul is telling us to examine our salvation, the examination of our salvation. How many of you this afternoon, how many of you are saved? Are you saved? Praise God for our salvation. You know, one of the main reasons why many Baptist churches today and many members of Baptist churches today are not serving the Lord, are not involved in missions, is because, sad to say, we have plenty of Baptist churches today whose membership are filled with people who are just professors but not possessor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just encourage you, just simply encourage you, if you are saved, you ought to serve. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ did not save you just so that he could bring you to heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ did not save you so that, you know, you will inherit the bliss of heaven. That's part of our salvation, result of our salvation. But the Lord Jesus Christ left us on this world because we have something to do. If you're saved, you need to serve the Lord. You see, Christianity was built upon 2 foundations. It's all about trust and obey. The book of James tells us it's about faith and works. If you have the genuine faith, you ought to be serving God. Otherwise, the Bible tells us, except ye be reprobates. You are not in the right faith. Hey, if you claim that you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to be serving God. The examination of our salvation. Let's see the second time when Apostle Paul used the word examine or the word account. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. And you know the context in 1 Corinthians 11, 28. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Apostle Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper. And he said something in verse number 28, he said, let a man examine. Here we go, we see here again the word examine. That's the same word Apostle Paul used in our text, account. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Of course, the examination here, just like what I said, is in reference and relation to taking the Lord's Supper. And Apostle Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, that before you take the Lord's Supper, you need to examine yourself whether you be right in the sight of the Lord. You see, this is my point. This is my point. My point is very simple. If you are saved, you ought to serve God. But if you want to become effective in your service of the Lord, secondly, there must be an examination of our consecration. Heritage Baptist Church, we need to remember this, that God is only using clean vessels in the ministry. If you want to do something for God, if you want to be involved in missions, if you want God that He could accomplish more through your life, through your testimony, through your church, you need to be a sanctified church. Don't play with sin. Because sin will destroy your ministry. Sin will destroy your life. If you are a church worker, don't play with sin. Take good care of your testimony. Be careful about your entertainment. You see, I have read in the internet that there are so many pastors in America today who are out of the ministry because of immorality. And they fell into immorality because this little box, their computer, their gadgets, they were engaged in immoral things. Can I say this, Pastor? Pornography will destroy your life. Amen? You hate sin. You love your Savior. And God will use you in soul winning. You see, it's good that we're saved. But we need to live a clean life, because if you are not living a clean life, you can go to the motion of serving God, but you will end up to be fruitless and defeated in the ministry. There must be an examination of our consecration. Salvation, consecration, and then there must be an examination of our dedication. Let's go back to our text. You see, in our text, Apostle Paul said, let a man so account of us. And right here, he was talking about being faithful. That's in the context of verse number 1 and verse number 2, is about dedication, about being faithful. It is, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to be in the mission field. You see, the testimony of our dear missionary in Indonesia, it's not easy to be in a Islamic country. Not even here in Singapore. It's not easy. There would be problems, there would be pressures, there would be trials. But listen, let me encourage you. Let's stay dedicated in the service of the Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ said, John chapter 9, verse number 4, He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. When we were in Bangladesh and there was persecution in Bangladesh, I shared this to Pastor Ray, and an American friend sent me an email, and twice he said, Brother June, why don't you change field? If it's difficult to minister in Dhaka, why don't you change field? He said, we will understand. And I was talking to myself, how can I change field? There must be dedication. You see, this is the examination of our work. Second point. Let me share with you, not only the examination, we're going to see the explanation of our work. After challenging others to take inventory of his life, Apostle Paul in our text speaks of two areas in which he welcomed his inventory, and he used two pictures describing his role and his responsibility in the ministry of the Lord. Let's go back to verse number 11. Paul said in verse number 1, he said, let a man so account of us as of the ministers. That's the first picture or area of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. You see, the words minister and stewards both speak of a slave. When Apostle Paul wrote this book, 1 Corinthians, we all know the history that a large segment of Roman Empire was filled with slaves. And those slaves worked for their masters in different roles and with different responsibility. Let me give you two sub-points. First of all, we are ministers that have been given a task. We have a task to do. Let's go back to the word minister. Did you know that in the original tongue, the word minister simply means under-rower. Somebody who is rowing, but under. Now let me ask you a question, what does an under-rower do? What does an under-rower do? Just simply to row. Just to row. That's the work of the under-rower, to row. And you know, in the ancient times, when I was studying this, I found out that in the ancient times, there's no such thing as ship with an engine. Wasn't it? Can you imagine a big ship as big as this building without engine? How would that ship move forward? Can you imagine a ship as big as this building loaded with heavy goods? How would the ship move forward? And can you imagine a big ship as big as this building, you know, loaded with heavy goods? And can you imagine the distance that the ship has to traverse? How would the ship move forward? The ship will move forward because of the under-rowers. The ship will move forward because of the under-rower. The under-rowers have to mend the oar, have to mend the paddle, and then pull it, propel it, so the ship would move forward. And Apostle Paul said, we are ministers. Our work is to row, so the ship will move forward. You see, during the time of Apostle Paul, as I was studying this, I found out that the Romans were so skilled in building ship. And every time they're going to build a ship, they love to build a ship that has three story. They would love to build a three-decked ship, three story. And the ship has an upper deck, it has a middle deck, and it has a lower deck. And then when I was studying this Roman dilapidated ship, I found out that in every deck there were people in it. This afternoon, I want to tour you inside the dilapidated Roman ship. And we're going to see who were the people inside the ship. First of all, be with me, we're going to the upper deck. Who were the people in the upper deck? I found out that the people in the upper deck were usually the VIPs. They were the very important people, but sometimes they would also become the very ignorant people. They were the VIPs. They were the people that did not have any commitment, did not have any concern about the operation of the ship. They were just there to enjoy the cruise. And as they were cruising, all they did was to drink, to eat, and marry. And from time to time, they're going to watch a boxing match. They're going to watch Pacquiao from time to time. Why? Because they were the VIPs. And when I was studying this lesson, the Lord spoke to me that those people on the upper deck is a picture of many members of Baptist churches who would love to think that they are the VIPs inside the church. No commitment, no involvement in the operation of the church. Pastor says, all right, we're going to move, we're going to be involved in missions. He says, praise the Lord, Pastor. I like that, Pastor, but we don't care. And their favorite song is the old Baptist song, I shall not be moved. That is their favorite, you know, song, because they feel like they are the VIPs inside the church. Hey, if you're a member of this church, let me tell you, you're not a VIP. You're not a VIP. People on the upper deck, and it's so hard to have a church. It's so hard to build a church on the upper deck. If you are a member of this church, remember that you are just a sinner saved by the grace of God. No one is a VIP here. The VIP here is not other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the unseen guest Jansen gets. Upper deck. Are you ready to go to the middle deck? Let's go to the middle deck. Who are the people on the middle deck? I found out that the people on the middle deck were the reserve servants. They were the on-call servants. They will only work when there is a call. You know that? On-call servants. No call, no work. And a lot of times, they were just like the people on the upper deck. They were just enjoying the cruise. And when I was studying this lesson, the Lord convicted me that those people on the middle deck is a picture of those Baptist members who will only work when there is a call. No call, no work. No text, no work. In fact, no pastor, no soul winning. No praise, no work. No handshake, no work. No initiative. They would love to sing in the choir when it's a special occasion like missions conference. But if it's not a special occasion, they will not sing in the choir. They will say, oh, you know, I'm reserved for the professional things, you know. People on the middle deck. People on the middle deck. And it's so hard to build a church on the middle deck. Then let's go to the lower deck. Who are the people in the lower deck? Now, understand this. When I studied the Roman ship, I found out that the most unlike part of the ship was the lower deck. It was hot, dirty, and stink. And who were the people in the lower deck? I found out that the people in the lower deck were no other than the under rowers. The under rowers. There were the people inside the ship who did not have any focus, who did not have any concern but to man the oar and row so the ship would move forward. And they are the kind of members that we need in our churches today. Members who are ready to sacrifice. Members who are ready to roll their sleeves and do the dirty job and be involved in dismantling the walls for missions. We need sacrificial members like the under rowers. We do not need people on the upper deck. We do not need people on the middle deck. We need under rowers. But let me ask you a question this afternoon. Where are you inside the ship? Where are you inside the ship? Apostle Paul said, let a man so account to us. Let a man examine my life. Now ask yourself before God this afternoon, where are you inside the ship? Where are you inside the ship? Quickly, let me talk about the ship. I would love to see the ship as the New Testament Baptist Church, loaded with grace and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that this ship was built during the public ministry of the ship master builders, and the first under rowers were the apostles. And if there would be a ship, there would be a captain, there must be a destination. What is the destination of the ship? The destination of the ship is to circumnavigate the world. That's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all creatures, to all people. That is the destination. And when I was studying this, I was so blessed because I was imagining the first under rowers. The first under rowers took the paddle, took the oar, and they rowed. They were persecuted, but they kept on rowing until the first under rowers, the apostles, reached the Middle East. They reached the Middle East, and they preached the gospel, and they were persecuted, but the under rowers did not stop. They take the paddle and they kept on rowing and rowing and rowing until the ship reached the European shore. Westward. And when the ship reached the European shore, they were also persecuted. And there was even a history, there was even a time in the history of the church that the ship went underground in the dark ages. But the under rowers did not stop. They kept on rowing and rowing, and they row and row, 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 row your boat down. They kept on rowing until they brought the ship into the American shore. And the Americans were blessed with the ship. The Americans were blessed. Many American people got saved. They even claimed that America was founded by the manual of the ship, the Bible, because even in their currency, it says, "In God we trust." The Americans love the ship, and many got saved. Many got saved. But America was not the final destination of the ship. Many years ago, American under rowers, they went to different parts of the world. 100 years ago, there was a ship called the BBFI. They reached the Philippines. 35 years ago, somebody came here, he rowed and came here, and then testify about the master of the ship and the salt issue. Heritage, 30 years ago, they brought the ship to the Philippine shore, to the Asian shore. And then I just imagine, just forgive my redundancy. But the Filipino churches also catch the vision. And so many Filipino sailors, so many Filipino under rowers took the baton and took the challenge and then demand the oar, and they kept on sailing until somebody reached the Vietnamese shore, the Cambodian shore, the Indonesian shore. And then it was in 2008, you see a Filipino under rower. Take the oar and sailed and reached the Bangladeshi shore. You see, Apostle Paul said that's our assignment. We have been given the task to row so the ship, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, will move forward. It is a very, very challenging work. But by the way, I have 3 points. I may not preach the last point because it might be too long. Inside the ship, there are 3 things we need to remember. It's very, very important. There are 3 things we need to remember to propel the ship forward. First of all, our task involves subordination. When we say subordination, I found it that it simply means that we are all under the command of the captain of the ship who gives orders and direction. Subordination. There is only one captain in the ship, the Lord Jesus. And so when the captain would say, "All right, let's move forward, all we need to do is man the oar and then pull it so that the ship will move forward under the direction of the captain." Subordination. When we say subordination, it simply means that inside the ship there's no big shot under the ship. No big shot. There's no such thing as big shot and small shots under rowers. There's no such thing as educated and non-educated under rowers, or handsome and ugly under rowers. We are all equal. Our work is at His direction and under His direction. Our work involves subordination. And number 2, our work involves cooperation. Can you imagine a ship? Let's say, for example, there are 50 under rowers here and 50 under rowers here. And the 50 under rowers here would paddle forward. Paddle forward. But the 50 under rowers here would paddle backward. They would paddle backward. What would happen to the ship? Nothing will happen. So inside the church, there must be a cooperation. Hey, Heritage Baptist Church, if you want God to bless you, you need to be united together for missions. You see, you need to put your efforts to be united in missions. We need to have cooperation. I know that, you know, the under rowers, they have differences and preferences in life. But the under rowers did not mind all those petty things, the preferences and then the differences. They think about the work of manning the oar and pulling it so that the ship would move forward. We need cooperation. One of the reasons why many ships today are dry rotting in the harbor is because of the disunity of the members. We need subordination, we need cooperation, and lastly, we need our task involves participation. Participation. Let's sing again. Let's see, there are 50 under rowers here. But out of the 50 under rowers here, 10 under rowers will only row. Out of the 50 under rowers here, 5 of them will only row. What would happen to the ship? The ship will also move forward, but it will be very, very, very slow. One of the reasons why many churches today have not reached their maximum potential is because not all of the members are involved in the ministry. You see, there are members who we call the Lily Baptist. The Lily Baptist. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 6 when the Lord Jesus said, "Don't you worry about what you need in life? Look at the lilies on the field. They toil not, neither do they spin." And then there are so many Lily Baptists in our churches today. They toil not, neither do they spin. You see, the power behind the ship reaching its destination was the work of the under rowers. And you need to help your pastor being the leader of the church. And hey, this is ultimately a pastor-led church. And the members should be behind the pastor. As the pastor say, "All right, let's move forward, let's sail, let's row the rope," then you need to row. You need to row and help your pastor. Apostle Paul said, there must be an examination. And then he explained it. And then lastly, we're going to see the exhortation of our service. We need to keep rowing until we reach the final destination. And this is the exhortation. By the way, it's good, you know, it's really hard to row. But I'm imagining, let's just keep on rowing until we reach the golden shore and see the captain of the ship. And when we see the captain of the ship, it would be worth it all. And this is what Apostle Paul said in conclusion. The exhortation of our work, verse number 2. In light of every believer being a steward, Paul says in verse number 2, moreover, in conclusion, or in addition, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Keep on manning the oar and pulling it. Be faithful. Theodore Roosevelt, one of the great leaders, he said, "It is better to be faithful than to be famous." He said, "It is better to be faithful than to be famous." God is not interested in believers becoming famous, but He is interested in believers becoming faithful. Someone added, "The world crowns success, but God crowns faithfulness." What then? What then? We should be faithful to our work. Whatever God has given you as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, be faithful. You see, because you are a steward. You are a steward of the Lord. Be faithful to our work. As a minister, you should be faithful. As a steward, you should be faithful. I remember an illustration, about to close, about the life of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody said, they said that D.L. Moody destroyed the beauty of the English language. Because he was the lone person who could say the word Mesopotamia in just 2 syllables. And they said he destroyed the beauty of the English language. Mesopotamia, how could you say that in 2 syllables? But I can't. One time, D.L. Moody was preaching, and he gave his best. And then after preaching, an elderly woman approached him and said, Preacher, I have noticed that you made 7 or 11 grammatical errors in your message tonight. Can you imagine that, you know, there are members as if they are taking down the notes of Pastor Ray. But they are just jotting down the mistakes of Pastor Ray. I went to a church in somewhere in Baguio City. I preached, I gave my best. I saw a lady was writing. I thought this lady is the most spiritual member of the church. He was taking notes. He was taking my outline. And then after the service, the paper fell down and I found it and I read it. It says 1 kg of vegetable, 1 kg of pork, 1 kg. That was a grocery list. I thought she was listening. And the elderly woman said, preacher, 11 grammatical errors. And the old Moody said, yes, mama, now how I wish I could have more English language. But I am just using what I have to win as many souls as I can. But praise the Lord, because God is not grading us on terms. He is grading us on the ground of faithfulness. You might be limited in many ways, but keep on rolling, because God is grading you on faithfulness. We should be faithful to our work, and we should be faithful in our work. In our work. There was a group of singers in ancient England. And what they do is that they will go to different places in England and they will perform. And then one time they went to a very remote place in England and they set their tabernacle and then invited people to come because they're going to perform. And so the first night they performed, they give their best. And then the following morning, they had the meeting. And one of them said, let's just cancel our next performance, just tonight. Because he said, you know, just few came over last night. Let's just cancel it. Maybe a few people will just come. And then the other one said, I agree, because maybe tonight the snow will come and it would be very, very cold. Let's just cancel it. I will vote for that. But the elderly member of the group said, I do not agree. Because he said, let's just have our performance tonight. Because, he said, it was not the fault of the few who came, while they were very few. It was not their fault. And he said, nobody would control the coming of the snow. So let's just perform. And so they wanted to perform. And sure, when they performed, they saw that few people were just there and listened. Then after the performance, they stood at the gate of the tabernacle and every one of them extended their hands. And here comes the last person who saw their performance. And then when he came, the last person had a little piece of paper. And when he shook the hand of the elder member of the group, there was a little paper. And we went out. And then when the last man went out, you see, the man said, the last person who went out, when I shook his hand, there is a little paper. And he opened it and read it to his group and said, and the letter said, thank you for the great performance. Your king. One of them was the king. It doesn't matter if we will be in the minority. It doesn't matter if we will face problems and trials, because we are serving our living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What matters is we are going to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, because one day we are going to stand before Him and we are going to give an account of what we have done in this world. We are going to give an account of our involvement in missions, and it would be good when we hear Him say, our captain of the ship, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's continue ministering in the service of the Lord. Missions is a priority beyond the rower. There must be an examination, explanation, and exhortation. Let us be faithful. We'll be going back to Bangladesh this coming Monday.
And would to God that He will give us still the opportunity to visit you. We will still see you because you keep on serving.